I'm speaking with Rick Manning, landscape architect and one of the organizers behind the event, Wild and Stewart Park, taking place next Tuesday evening at Cinemopolis in downtown Ithaca. And also joining us is Mari Reed, wildlife photographer, who will be presenting her work at the Wild and Stewart Park event. Mari and Rick, thank you for joining me this evening. Rick, you've been one of the local citizens spearheading a renaissance of Stewart Park and other downtown trails and parks. How did you come up with the idea of Wild and Stewart Park?
Well, thank you for having us, Esther. I just thought the idea of combining pictures with images, these beautiful images with live music, would be a really fun thing to do. And I've done this conference in Cinemopolis, a native Ithaca Native Plants conference that we've done, and actually maybe, and Mari spoke at it a few years ago. And PowerPoint, you know, sometimes can be kind of dreadful, but if you do it at Cinemopolis, sometimes if people have beautiful pictures, I've been really struck by how amazing it was to see them really
on a big screen,
really big. And Mari's birding shots were just mind-blowing. And Dan Siegel, a friend of mine who owns the Plantsman Nursery, he takes beautiful plant images. So I was just impressed by the venue and being downtown and the projection capabilities in the room. So I don't know, the idea kind of came together, and I floated it to Mari and Sarah last year, and they were both open to it. And I had a group that I play with that plays instrumental music that I thought would kind of fit well. So we gave it a shot, and it it worked better than I could have imagined, actually. It was really a wonderful event.
You and other members of the organization Friends of Stewart Park are working on the Fuertes Overlook at the Swan Pond next to the Cascadilla Boathouse. Can you describe the Fuertes Overlook and the Swan Pond? Why is it important to restore this area?
That's an area that's got a kind of a mix of habitats. You've got a pond with vegetation around it, and that attracts a lot of birds. In fact, it's a kind of a warbler hotspot sometimes in the spring. So a lot of the birders go there, and they see these wonderful, beautiful, little colorful warblers flitting around in the vegetation. So it's just a really nice place. And also, I think there are many ducks in there sometimes. It's really a nice place to stand and look out, just enjoy nature when you're there.
And why does it need to be restored?
I'm going to leave that to Rick.
Yeah, okay. I'd be happy to comment on that. So the interesting thing is the Cayuga Bird Club has a history in the park. When they first formed, I think it was in 1913, some of the luminaries of the Lab of Ornithology were involved in starting the club. And at that time, the city was going to take what's commonly called the Fuertes Bird Sanctuary, which is the big floodplain forest, which is really technically the Renwick Wildwood. That's what we're trying to call it now. But they saved it from being cleaned up and converted into a park. So that was their first big kind of public action, I guess. And then they did a lot of volunteer days maintaining it, a lot of educational bird walks, and brought the schools over. A few years later, they decided to redo what we call the Swan Pond, which is right next to the boathouse. And they did a site plan for it, and it had some marsh in the back, and they created an island in the middle and then open water. And they actually would bring in decoys to attract migrating waterfowl so people could view them. And that was done in like 1927. In 1934, then they came back and built the stone overlook, and they dedicated it to Luis Fuertes Agassiz, who was a famous wildlife artist. It's actually in remarkably good shape, but a lot of the stonework was, you know, needed to be regrouted and the stones reset. And, you know, it's not structurally unsound, but we're redoing the railing so that little things have been added on over the years. So we're taking a few things away and cleaning them up. And Joel Brain of Brainstone, who's a Fall Creek resident, is doing the work on it. And we'll be planting it, actually, the water edge part of it, on the 13th, just in a week and a half or so. So it's one of many little modest projects that I think will make a big difference in the park. And it's something that people just kind of didn't notice. You know, it was just part of the landscape. But if you really look at it, it was not in good condition. So it'll be much nicer.
And Mari, what do you look for when you go to Stewart Park to photograph the wildlife?
Yeah, thanks for asking me that. That's a good question. I'm looking for birds that are approachable, and often when they're in a park situation, they are. They're used to seeing people. I'm also looking for predictable behavior. So if a bird is coming to a food plant regularly, or if it's looking for a nest site and it keeps circling around and landing in a tree. If it's a duck, sometimes they'll gather in one place to rest and preen, and they'll do their courtship displays. So I spend a lot of time watching, and then I decide where's the good place to be, and I'll go and hang out there. And I may come back several days in a row, and eventually I hope I get what I'm looking for in terms of photographs.
What would you recommend to kind of a novice observer of wildlife who wanted to go to Stewart Park and watch?
To just observe or to take pictures?
To observe.
Okay. Well, the best thing to do is to slow down. You know, we're always in a rush in our busy lives. Best thing to do is slow down, take a pair of binoculars with you, and walk slowly around on the trails, and breathe deeply, and open your ears to the sounds and the sights, and then open your eyes to the sights and see what you can see. And the more you slow down, the more you stay in one place for fairly long periods of time, the more you're going to see. And that can be really cool. You'll see things that birds do that you didn't know they did.
Okay, well, let's talk a little more about the event, Wild in Stewart Park. Mari, can you talk about some of the photos that will be on display during the event?
Each of the photographers is quite different styles. I do wildlife, and I like to show birds going about their lives. Dee Dee Hatch does some beautiful evocative landscapes and close-ups. And Sarah Blodgett is also a wildlife photographer, but she has a kind of a sense of fun about her images, and she's kind of brings the quirky side of nature in. So we'll have different styles of photography. We've also got different themes. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, one of mine is wing beats, which is, you know, birds flying and taking flight. One of Dee Dee's is the willows that are in Stewart Park. So she's taken lots of lovely pictures of those. And Sarah's got one called Babes and Chicks, which is about young birds and their parents. So that can be a lot of fun. So a lot of variety.
Okay. And Rick, I see that, as you mentioned, you're a musician, mm-hmm. and you'll be performing during the event. Can you describe some of the music that you'll be playing, and how is it connected to the theme?
Well, the music that I'll be playing, I guess about half of the pieces, and it's instrumental music that I recorded with Tom Hodgson and Hope Greitzer, although neither of them can be there, but I'll be performing them with Tim Ball, who is a very good fiddler and guitarist. So we do some faster bluegrass songs, some more slow, evocative tunes, and I think basically the photographers had the CD and they selected tunes that they felt fit the themes that, or I guess they brought up themes or they matched the themes that they were already thinking about. We're also having this year Jug Django, the quartet, Dave Davies and the Aceto brothers, Eric and Harry and Brian Earl were kind enough to join us. So they'll be doing one little historic set about the history of Stewart Park and of the Wharton Studio Museum, and they'll also be playing Willow Weep for Me for Dee Dee shot a lot of willows. She's kind of loves the willows in the park and their wispy kind of nature, and they're very transparent, so she's done a lot of cool things with that. So and then they'll be playing some in between sets when they're transitioning or in the intermission or at the opening. And then Tenzin Chopak and Nicholas Walker, who have performed a lot, mostly as Rockwood Ferry, I think is better known. But he's a songwriter, singer-songwriter, and he'll be doing a couple of couple or three tunes as well. One of them is Cat Stevens' tune, song Wild, Ooh Baby, It's a Wild World, which mm-hmm. us boomers would recognize, certainly. And he agreed that would be fun to do. So I think mm-hmm. who's doing the music? Is that a Sarah piece, I think?
That's a Sarah piece, yes. Yeah. Where the Wild Things Are is her theme.
Yeah.
Mari, how does Stewart Park inspire you? Why do you think that people should come to this event and support the park?
Well, it's a wide vista there. You can see close-up things. You can go in the woods and see dense woods. You can go in on the lake shore and see a wide vista of the wonderful lake, the hills in the background. And often if you go there at the ends of the day, you're going to see sunrise and sunset. Sunsets especially spectacular. Mm-hmm. So it's a very inspiring place, worth going to.
And Rick, what's your favorite thing about Stewart Park?
Well, I mean, I love the landscape setting. Obviously, the lake kind of, in many ways, defines our region. But I love the history of the park. It was designed by the trolley company, the original buildings. Not the boathouse. The boathouse was built by the Cascadilla School. But I love the historic buildings. I think it was very, as a landscape architect, I'm both inspired by the original design of it and the beautiful shingle-style buildings that were built, but also concerned about the condition of it. I think, like many parks throughout the country, 70s and 80s and maybe into the 90s were not kind to municipal parks. A lot of budgets were slashed, and cities just didn't have the revenues to keep up with particularly historic wood buildings where they require constant maintenance. So I just see it as an opportunity to try to bring the community, like we did with the Waterfront Trail, try to bring the community together to help the city find the money and the energy to, not the energy, help them with the vision, I guess, for what's really possible. And then it's does come down to money a lot and finding their revenues to be able to paint the buildings, put new roofs on. And the city's really stepping up in a big way, but so is the community. So that, to me, is... it's exciting to see people come together to take care of a public space like this. I think it's really important to honor the place and to, you know, invest in it so that it's great for all of the citizens of Ithaca. And it's always free, which is great.
Okay. And how can our listeners find out more about the event, Wild in Stewart Park, that's happening next Tuesday, May 9th?
Well, the best way is to go to the www.friendsofstewartpark.org, and there'll be links to the ticketing. Tickets are in advance are being sold through Brown Paper Ticket. Enjoy the beautiful music and images. And I also wanted to mention briefly that there will also be a raffle. We did just get a donation today from Wild Birds Unlimited of a set of binoculars, a nice one, which is really exciting. And a lot of other local businesses and organizations are donating to the raffle that we'll do in the intermission and before the show. So that'll be another way that people can support the park.
Again, where and when is it happening?
Good point. It's next Tuesday night, which is Tuesday, May 9th. At Cinemopolis, in the big theater at Cinemopolis, from 7 to 9.
Okay, well, Rick Manning, landscape architect, and Mari Reed, nature photographer, wildlife photographer, thanks for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Esther.